Are you ready to reach a whole new audience and skyrocket your brand's visibility? Introducing your golden opportunity. You can advertise your product, service, or business here on the Friends and Beauty Podcast. This is the ultimate platform to connect with a vibrant community of beauty enthusiasts, professionals, and trendsetters. Our devoted listeners are passionate about all things beauty, and your message deserves to be heard. Whether you're a makeup brand, a skincare guru, salon owner, or anything in between, this is your chance to captivate a dedicated audience. Imagine your brand's name resonating through earbuds, sparking conversations, and inspiring action. This is your chance to make waves in a sea of possibilities. So don't wait. Step into the spotlight and let your message be heard, okay? Connect with us today at friendsandbeauty.com/advertise to seize your moment on the Friends and Beauty Podcast. Don't worry, I'll leave everything down below for you. And elevate your brand, capture attention, and make an impact. I look forward to sharing your brand with my friends in beauty, okay? So let's go ahead and jump back into the episode.
What do you foresee is like the future of AI for the beauty industry in particular?
I think it's so many different things. Like, of course, the beauty filters that you see on like an Instagram or something, like that's AR, you know, like, so you can always participate in that. You know, there are going to be AI beauty campaigns. Pat McGrath just did one. She just did AI beauty campaign. And it's just like, so all of this is going to be a possibility. So with that said, it's, you know, if you want to learn it, learn it.
Mm-hmm. Is that like a known thing? Like she put it out as like an AI beauty campaign?
Or? Yeah, it just dropped the other day.
Ooh, I'm going to go look at it.
Yeah, go look. Yeah.
Welcome to the Friends in Beauty Podcast, a safe space for ambitious beauty industry creatives to have real talk, get authentic answers, and practical tools to grow their businesses. Join me every week as me and my special guests reveal the keys to longevity and success in the beauty industry, from the ups and downs of their journey to the nitty-gritty of their struggles and triumphs. We're spilling the tea on it all, and most importantly, having fun while doing it. You ready?
Welcome to the Friends in Beauty Podcast, Joy.
Hello, how you doing, Aquia?
I am absolutely great now that you're here.
Oh,
I'm so excited to talk to you today, y'all. Joy is the founder of The Future in Black and also the All Black Everything Summit. She's a creative director and AI designer, which I'm totally intrigued about. So I'm really excited to talk to you today.
Excited to talk to you as well. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's an absolute honor and a pleasure. So before we jump into the interview, I want to start off with some icebreakers. Have some fun. You know, the Friends of Beauty audience can get to know you outside of what you do professionally. So the first one, just give us 3 random facts about you.
Oh, that's a good, okay. 3 random facts about me. Well, some people know I'm a Virgo. I always let people know that. Another fact about me is that I am from the DC area, PG County. Another fact about me is that I'm a self-taught makeup artist.
Oh, nice. Okay. Self-taught makeup artist, Virgo, and she's from the DMV area, which I love. I did not know that until today. So I love that.
Yes.
Where do you live now?
So right now I'm actually based out of New York. But I am in the South at this current moment, you know, like recording this. But New York City, Harlem, to be exact.
Okay. What is something that you intentionally do every day for yourself?
Ooh, intentionally do every day for myself. You know, that's a good question. I think as a Black woman, sometimes we don't intentionally do anything for ourselves every day. Right. I think one of the things is definitely shower. You know, like, I think that is a place of like meditation, and you don't even realize that it is that. So definitely that.
Yeah, definitely. You got to at least shower if nothing else.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So I have these things called pod decks. They have random questions in them. This is a, what the heck, you know, would you rather, which one would you like?
Let's do the, that's a good question. What the heck?
What the heck?
What the heck?
And yeah. Please don't scare Joy away from us, because sometimes these questions be.
Let's do it.
Oh, this is cute. This is not bad. I like this one. If you can have anything named after you, what would you want it to be?
Anything named after me. You know, the great thing about having the name Joy is that a lot of things are already named after me. So like, just like most recently, the Pharrell song Joy, I'm like, yes, I love it, you know, but honestly, let's see. I would like a flower named after me.
Yeah, I like that. A joy flower.
Yeah, right?
And like, you can really spread joy. Like,
exactly. And when it blooms, it's like joy comes in the morning kind of thing. So yeah, I love that.
Okay, I love that answer. Yes. What do people always tell you that you're good at aside from what you do professionally? I mean, being a Virgo and all, you know, y'all just do everything.
Well, aside from arguing. People do say I should have been a lawyer. I think one of the things is the creative direction. Mm-hmm. I know I do that professionally, but I've always had like an eye for art, an eye for composition, those type of things. So I think people have always said that I've been good at that.
Okay. And it obviously shows in your work.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. When is the last time that you did something for the first time?
That should have been in that deck. When is the last time I've done something for the first time? Ooh, you know what? I would have to say about a year ago when I started doing AI.
Okay. So yeah. It's only been a year.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I've been dabbling in Web3, Web3/metaverse. For a couple of years now, and I started learning AR. But once AR to me has a higher learning curve, so I wasn't getting it as fast. So I started playing around with AI. I didn't like what I was getting at first. So I was like, no, like this is not it. So I walked away from it and I left it for a while. And then I came back to it. And then that's when it really started clicking.
Okay, I love it. So the last time you did something for the first time was dabbling with AI, and it's been paying off. I love this.
Yes, I love it. Thank you.
Yes, if you weren't the founder of the Future in Black and the All Black Everything Summit and everything else that you have going on, is there anything else you could see yourself doing right now?
Ooh,
you have any other passion?
You are asking some really good questions. These are like new questions that I've never answered before. So you're good at what you do, just the FYI. What else do I have passion? Now, okay, so I think I have a passion for it, but my body is like, no. I wish I had a passion for like growing foods and plants. Mm-hmm. Now, every plant I've ever had has come to my house to die and to commit suicide. So, you know, I'm like, okay, well, I want to have that passion, but, you know, it's just gotta be, you know, I gotta, you know, like stroke it out a little bit and see, you know.
I used to be there. I can totally agree. Me and my best friend, maybe like four or five years ago, somebody gifted us a sunflower, like it was just blooming, and that thing came to our houses to die. We were just like, man, we suck at this. And then when I moved into my first apartment, I think, one of my mother's friends gifted me a Monstera plant.
I don't even know what that is.
You definitely seen it. It's a very popular looking plant, but it doesn't take a lot to take care of, and it really just like boosted my confidence because it started growing like new leaves and stuff. I was like, okay, so I got this. Maybe I could try to do a little garden, and it worked. Like I grew some okra, some tomatoes, some kale, peppers that year. It just boosted my confidence because I felt the exact same way. Like I got a brown thumb, not a green thumb.
Same. I've always had where people are like, try this plant because it's, you know, like it's hard to kill it. And I would be the one that would definitely do that. I had a cactus war that just did not survive. And that is shameful. So yeah.
The first thing I had was a bonsai, and they said those aren't supposed to, and that it definitely shriveled up and died. So I was like, I don't know what y'all talking about.
Yes, same.
Yes, I love that. So let's jump into it. I saw you were at Essence Fest. Like, how was Essence Fest this year?
Essence was great. I hate to admit this, but it was my first time going. Mm-hmm. I can't believe, like, all these years, I'd never been. And it was actually a really great experience. I had a really good time. New Orleans is really hot.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, whoa, did I get dropped off at the wrong, like, did I catch the wrong plane to a tropical island or something? But honestly, like, I had a really good time. And the clients that I was working for, they were great. They were awesome. And I learned a lot while I was there.
That's great. I know for sure I have to be intentional about going to Essence Fest next year, because it just never is on my radar until it's actually mm-hmm. here. And I'm like, dang.
Yeah, that's so true. I didn't go to any of the concerts mm-hmm. because, you know, after a full day of working, like, you just don't have the energy. However, I do eventually want to go there in a different capacity. So I could go to the concert.
Yeah. So, were you doing for your clients down there?
I was actually doing social media, okay. Which is like, it's wild, because a lot, as you probably know, a lot of social media people aren't that necessarily good with their own social media, but they can rock somebody else's out. And I think that's the category I'm in. Like, yeah. I'm okay with social media on my end, but it's like, tell me to do, first of all, I'm just that person. I could tell everybody what to do except when it comes to myself. Okay. Like, I done mapped it out for you. I'm like, okay, well, you can do this and this. And then if somebody says, well, what are you doing for you? I'm like,
I haven't posted in weeks.
Exactly. So I'm just like, okay. Yeah. But I think that's the inner strategist in me.
Yeah,
that always just comes out
critical. Like, we're so much more critical with our own content than other people.
Exactly,
we see their vision more clearly than, you know, ours.
That's so true. Yep. You got it. That is exactly true.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do, because, like I said, I'm intrigued. But let the Friends and Beauty audience know.
All right. So Joy for Now, DC, PG County. Well, I'm gonna say PG County because you're a true DC native. I'm gonna say PG County. But I moved to New York about 17, 18 years ago, 20, I'm rounded off 20 years ago, to pursue a career in fashion makeup. So I've been in that industry for that long. And I just recently retired from it during the pandemic. That was when I was like, okay, I think that I was already, even before the pandemic, I was already getting to a place where I was like, I think I might be done, you know, done doing physical makeup. I'm also, you know, getting older in the industry and everything. And I just was like, okay, this might be the perfect time to buy out. And so that's exactly what I did. And during the pandemic, that's when I wound up throwing the summit twice, the All Black Everything Summit. And then after that, I was kind of like, well, after the summit, what do I want to do next? Because it was something that really did awaken inside of me, was to help Black creatives or support Black creatives on their journey. Yeah. And so I was like, well, I don't want to just throw a summit every year and just leave it at that. I was like, well, what else can I do? And then that's when I came up with The Future in Black. And I was like, ooh, like this, because I always want to think of, you know, we do a lot of time, a lot of thinking about the past, but I didn't think at that moment that we did a lot of thinking about the future.
Yeah.
And so that's when I decided to do The Future in Black. And it took me a little time to get off the ground, because when I found it, I was like, you know, I was on track for it to become like an editorial platform for Black creatives. And, you know, I was gonna kind of showcase them and everything, but something in my spirit just wasn't resonating with that, you know. Mm-hmm. Even though I still want to showcase Black creatives and support them on their mission, I was like, what, I saw so many other platforms doing that already.
Okay.
And I was like, well, what is it that I'm doing that's any different? And then I was like, it's called The Future in Black. What am I doing that's dealing with the future? Yeah. And I was like, you know. And so I'm just a big believer in, if I don't have my story right, I will take my time until I get there. And so that's exactly what I did. So a couple of years later, I am now like very proud to say that I finally got there. The Future in Black is a design studio based in New York City that specializes in AI, AR, 3D, and immersive experiences.
Oh, this is
yes.
So good. It's so many things to unpack in what you just said. So like, let's start with the makeup artistry part of it. You did mention that you're a self-taught makeup artist.
Yes.
For about 20 years, am I right?
Yeah, about 20 years. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. How would you sum up like your career in as a makeup artist at this point?
I would have to say I did everything that I wanted to do as a makeup artist. You know, I traveled the world. I worked backstage on, I don't even know how many Fashion Week seasons. I think it was like double digit seasons. I worked with some of the best in the industry. I worked on some amazing projects. I think for me, it was just time. Yeah. You know, I've done everything. And I think that after a while, like I started knowing in my heart that, you know, where I wanted to initially go in the industry was that goal was no longer there, you know? And so I was like, what's next? And so that's when the pandemic actually happened. And that is when I did the All Black Everything Summit. Gotcha. And then that's what started me on this other path.
Gotcha. Would you say that you kind of fell out of love with it at that time?
I would say I still love beauty. I still love makeup. I fell out of love of doing actual makeup though. Yeah. And I would have to say, and add this on, I actually was diagnosed with an autoimmune disorder that really started taking a toll on my body. So because of that, you know, I'm not going to continue to beat my body up because we know as makeup artists, carrying that kid around, especially like if, you know, like living in a city, going up and down subway steps, doing, you know, some of those shoots you're on, they could be 12-hour days, up to 16 hours, up to I've been on set for 24 hours one time, you know, and it's just, you're on your knees, it's a lot on your body. And so I was just like, you know what? I had a good run. So now it's time to move on.
Yeah, I totally get it. Those are the things that a lot of people don't really see or know about when people say makeup artists, they just only see, you know, that like doing makeup. Cause I even saw a post somebody sent me about this girl made a comment about nobody can really explain why bridal costs so much. And this girl broke it down. She's like, you see that? That's me in the corner popping the confetti for y'all pictures.
Yes.
Doing this and putting on your shoes and lacing up your gown. Like they don't see all the extra things that go into.
Nobody sees you on the backstage of Fashion Week putting lotion on a model's butt. Like, you know, nobody sees that. You on your knees doing what you gotta do. So
And when you say that you just didn't like enjoy like doing it anymore, was it anything in particular that you didn't enjoy doing? Like what about it that you didn't enjoy?
Okay. So I don't want to make it seem like I just hated doing makeup because that wasn't the case at all. Mm-hmm. I think the thing was that it was just when from the type of person I am, once I achieve a goal and you know, I'm ready to move on. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. It's not that I don't enjoy working with the people I'm working with or, you know, or doing the makeup. It's just that I realize that I'm there. I've done everything I wanted to do. So now it's like, you know, just move to the next thing.
Yeah. You feel good about it. Cause like you said, you had a good run.
Exactly. Exactly. So that's how I felt.
Yeah, I was asking because I know for me, I feel myself like slowly transitioning out of doing makeup at the capacity that I'm doing it now. I've only been a makeup artist for 10 years, but like as I'm getting older, I'm not that old, but as I'm getting older and maturing, I'm finding myself like being a lot more sensitive to people and their energy and like new people and their new energy. And it's like, it's starting to become a lot sometimes. So I might just like end up just dealing with my existing clients and then transitioning into like more media stuff, like my podcast and posting and correspondent type of stuff. But oh my gosh.
I love that. That's a great transition into something else. Hey, because, you know, a lot of people think, oh, you're, you know, well, back when I first started, let me sound like an old lady right now. Back when I was, you know, like, this idea of doing other things outside of just doing makeup was not even an option, you know? And it's just like, but now it's so many things that you can do. Like, you know, like, and especially like you said, media, and just taking that knowledge and that background that you have now and putting it towards something else, that's possible, you know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
That's absolutely. How long were you dabbling in tech at all before you made that transition out of makeup?
No, I would have to say no. So how this came about was, so I'm thinking about transitioning out of doing makeup. And I was like, okay, so I am a woman of a certain age. I'm 47. I was like, what am I going to do next? What am I going to do next? And I was just like, you know what? That's when I started reading about or hearing a lot about the metaverse and Web3. And I was like, what is that? You know, like, mm-hmm. and I just started kind of like learning more about it. And what happened was one night I was at a friend's house and I was playing, they had me try on their VR headset. Okay. And once I did that, I was hooked. I was like, what is this? Yes. And it's like something just went off in my head. Like all this possibility started coming up. Mm-hmm. And I just like, I had no idea how though, or what to do next. But I literally was like, ooh, I could do this. You know, like how do I get involved in this? Yeah. And then that's when I started reading more about like the metaverse and Web3 and starting to see like there's a lot of opportunity in this right now that I could actually use my background in makeup and fashion and go into this some kind of way, learn this, yeah. And then, you know, and then transition into that. So I would be on set all day long talking to all my makeup friends or all photographers. I was like, have y'all heard about the metaverse? And I know that they were just kind of like, if you don't be quiet, because you done brought this thing up so many times. But I kept saying like, this is the way, because after a while, unless you get to a certain point in makeup career, you know, you probably do need to start thinking about other things that you want to do. And also because sometimes you will age out of the industry, you mm-hmm. know, because, you know, you're not going to want to carry that kit everywhere. Certain things you're just not going to want to do. So I was like, have you guys thought about other things to do, you know, and add to your resume? Mm-hmm. Like this might be a good thing. And so I started thinking about video games. I started thinking about like just anything that I was like, well, what can, you know, I could. You know, I didn't have the plan down, you know, because it was very new. I definitely yeah. didn't have a plan down. I didn't know what I was doing, but I knew that I wanted to do it.
Yeah.
You know,
I know I want to do that, but
yeah.
Would you say it's like a low barrier of entry for like this type of work?
No, I wouldn't say necessarily low barrier entry because you do need to learn certain things about it, but because you know, it's. I think that it's that you can definitely learn it. You just have to stick with it, you know, and just be like this, you know, just have it as a goal to yeah. learn it, you know? So, yeah.
Okay. So now with the future in Black, like what kind of, like, how are you creating those innovative solutions for the brands that you work with?
So right now, like I'm currently working with the team. Like I have other people that are in specializing in certain areas of the business, like AR. I have someone for 3D. I have people that do other things as well. I'm more of the AI person. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so it's just more so like a team effort. Yeah. So yeah.
Yeah. So what is the difference? Because I don't know what AR is, but what is the difference between like AR, AI, the 3D, and like the immersive experience? What is the difference between like everything that you do?
So the AI is artificial intelligence. That's where I do a lot of prompting. You might have heard the term prompt engineer, where you can go in and just type in a lot of prompts and then get the outcome that you want to get out of it. You have your, you know, like your generative AI, which is art. Or just pictures and stuff. But then you also have your ChatGPTs where, you know, you can type something in, a prompt in, and you can get something back off of that. Your AR is augmented reality, where if you have your phone or something and you place it on something, something could pop up that also like kind of brings you into the screen and you can kind of see it move and all that stuff. 3D, I think that's more of like a, like, where you see video games and just three-dimensional movement in objects. Immersive experiences is when the experience comes to life all around you. Mm-hmm. So you're immersed in that experience. Yeah. So I just love it all. Like I have so much fun doing it. I love it.
Yeah. So with the AR, do you need the headset for that?
No, you gotta have a phone for that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh my God, this is so intriguing. So I know for sure I've had an immersive experience. Cause is it something like Art Tech House? Have you been there?
Yes, that's okay. Exactly what an immersive experience is. Yeah,
I love Art Tech House. I feel like I've been there like at least 3 times.
Ooh, I love that. Yes. But that is exactly what an immersive experience is.
Okay. So when your clients come to you for these services, what exactly are they looking for? Like, what are you doing?
So it depends on what they want. Like some people just like, I've been hired to concept or storyboard certain ideas, where some brands, you know, they don't necessarily want to shoot their story just yet until they see it on paper that it's going to work. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So they hired me to concept for them. So, or they'll, you know, or mood board, storyboard the whole idea so they could see it and explain it. Because, you know, as we know, visuals make a difference in how you can explain something. So that is one of the things. I mean, another thing is like, if you want something like a 3D poster or something for a movie or something like that, you know, they will come for that. Or like I just participated in Metaverse Beauty Week, you know, and so from that, like we did talks and we also went into the game with people who participated in the Beauty Week. We also had work that showcased on the walls. So that was an experience. That was a lot of fun. And so, yeah, so it's so many, you know, this, I feel like it, right now where we are in the world right now with these technologies is that whatever you think is possible. Yeah. You can bring it to life.
Yeah, this is really intriguing to me because me and my best friend, we used to do an Instagram live before she had her baby. We trying to okay. jump back into something, but okay. we used to do an Instagram live every week called NFT Convos because we were really like immersed in like the whole NFT space, just learning about that. And then somehow I will always get to AI. Like she'd be talking about the NFTs. But I'll be talking about AI, and I really feel like it's just something that is like a lot of people have resistance around it right now. But I'm like, no matter what resistance that you have, it's happening. So you might as well you know, inform yourself about what's going on.
Yeah. So the thing about it is like, I totally understand the resistance because to be honest, I had resistance at first too. And how I really learned about AI was I remember listening to, I think it was Andrew Yang, discussing AI on, I think, the Breakfast Club. And he was saying how once AI comes into existence, the income of the Black community will go to zero. Mm-hmm. And my ears perked up. I was like, wait, what? Because he was saying that it will take a lot of jobs from our community. Uh-huh. And so I was just like, wait a minute, like, what? You know? I was like, well, wait a minute. Well, we can't use this because, you know, like, why are they bringing it? You know, why are they creating this? Because this is going to just decimate our community, you know? And so I somewhere along the line, I think after I used the VR headset, I started looking at it differently. I started saying, in order for us to protect ourselves and our community, we have to get involved in the process. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's where I was like, okay. The only way that this is going to change, this is going to stop, this is going to a different outcome is that we have to be involved in this. Mm-hmm. And so that's where I started thinking, like, we don't have enough voices in this, enough people using this, you know, and while I understand, you know, the you know, frustration or the fear, we can't sit back and just live off the fear. Yeah. We got to get in the game. You Absolutely. Know what I mean? We have to participate in the process because otherwise other people will continue to write our story for us. And that's what I don't want. I'm done with that. Like that's where we need to stop allowing that to happen. And one of the things is not only do they write our story for us, they then monetize our creativity and sell it back to us at a premium. And then that's where I'm like, enough is enough.
Yeah. I was going to ask you about, I'm pretty sure you're familiar with Shudu, the AI. Mm-hmm. And it was like, me and my friend talked about it on the show because we were, first of all, we were very intrigued when we saw her because we thought it was a real girl. And then when we realized she was AI, and then like some of these AI are getting like brand deals and stuff like that. And then it became problematic because when people dug into it, they saw that it was actually a white man that created her. Yeah. So it was like, mm-hmm. how do you feel about that?
So I think I feel two ways. Of course, when I first saw it, I was like, like what is going on? But I also see that if we put parameters on other people doing those things, then those parameters are going to be put on us. Mm-hmm. So my thing is, well, we can do the same.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And on top, unfortunately, I think sometimes we get so caught up in the things that we can't change. We can't change that. So my thing is, instead of us getting caught up in what we can't change, what can we change? And what we can change is going in there, out there, and creating and doing our own thing where we're doing this. Yeah. You know, like it's not a way, like it's, you know, I just want, a lot of times I want us to know we have a lot more power than we think we do. Mm-hmm. And we have to come from a position of power and stop getting caught up in, and please know, like people are gonna be like, what do you mean by caught up? I think sometimes we do get caught or focus on something where it's like, okay, but what about all this other stuff that we can do?
Yeah,
you know? Yeah. And so that's where I am. Like that man has no remorse for what he's doing. It is what it is, you know?
Yeah, and I felt like if you pull back a little bit and just look at it as art, it's like everybody has the right to create whatever kind of art that they want, regardless of what,
yes,
you know, their race is.
Exactly. So. Yeah. And that's what it's like at the end of the day, like, you know, we also can go out and create an avatar of a white girl. And right. So it's, you know, like that's an option too. Not saying that we want to, but that's an option. You know? Yes, we could. We're not. Like nobody can just say no, we can't do it. And mm-hmm. That's the thing about this this technology is it can democratize so many different things.
Yeah.
And so it's like, you know, that's where I'm like, okay, y'all do know y'all can go out and do the same thing. So yeah.
Yeah. Well, the AI, I saw another AI like rapper, but he was like using, you know, the N-word and all that stuff, but the creator was white. It was like,
yeah. Now, don't get me wrong. On some AI, I am very much like, okay, that needs to be reined in, like deep fakes and the voices. Like, those are the things where I'm like, why did y'all even come up with this technology? Yeah. I won't be participating in that. You know, like that's not my thing, you know?
Yeah.
And I do think that on certain things, there should be, you know, perimeter or boundary set on that. Because I don't think you should be able to just create a deep fake and all that stuff, you know? But but on some things, like, you know, I do love AI. I love what it, you know, I love the amount of time you get back in your life, you know, like from what you can do. Like, say for instance, if you're writing a business plan or something, and you can, you know, like, get a marketing plan or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, before you would have to spend like weeks, months figuring that out, you mm-hmm. know, where now you can just really kind of hone it. And then you can move on to the next thing much quicker. You're mm-hmm. not stuck in a certain place. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah. I'm really concerned about the deep fake thing though, because I feel like when I saw that the first time, I said, okay, now in the court of law, it's going to be very hard to prove a reasonable doubt that somebody committed this crime unless you got fingerprints and DNA and like all that other stuff.
And it's like, and that is the scary part about it. I definitely am not one of the people who just think that AI should just run amok and that's it. Like, mm-hmm. no, it does need to have some parameters set around it. The thing though, that's the hard part is because it is such a new technology, you know, the government or whomever is going to take forever to catch up because, you know, it's changing so fast mm-hmm. that whoever, you know, regulates it needs to have knowledge of that. Plus the new thing that's coming out,
right.
You know, because otherwise you're constantly going to be playing catch up to it. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God. Well, you create some beautiful work. Like the images that I saw on your Instagram, your webpage. First of all, I got to give a huge shout out to my friend in beauty, Tam, because she's the one that told me about you. I think I was talking about AI or something on my Instagram live one day. She mentioned you and I got off of Instagram live and I went to your page and I was like, what is happening? This is amazing.
Oh, wow. Oh, my gosh. Thank you, Tam.
Yes, thank you. Shout out to Tam. But like, okay, so you weren't in tech at all. This is all new to you within like the last year or so. Mm-hmm. How did you hone your skills? And also like, what kind of technology are you using to create these images? Like, I don't know anything about how you create the images.
Yeah, so I think part of how I honed my skills was just coming from the beauty industry and knowing about composites, knowing about like photo composition, those type of things, like skin, how to do skin, how it looks natural, those type of things. So when I first started, that's why I mentioned earlier, when I first started AI and I didn't like it, because it got, you know, what I used to do as a makeup artist is that I was really big into skin and really natural makeup. Mm-hmm. And so when I would put things into the prompt, I was like, oh, this is real harsh looking. You know, it was too much for me. And so I had to take what I learned from the industry and start to hone my craft. And so I just kept going and going. And then I started producing some things that I really liked. And I think when the moment I realized I liked it was I had created a set of 1970s beauty ads, Black beauty ads. And I was like, okay, like, I didn't even know that was possible. Like, and I just started having fun. And then I created a concept for a makeup line, for Wes Anderson makeup line. And I was like, oh my God, you know, so that's where I started loving it. A lot of tech that I use is like Mid Journey. I also use another called Leonardo, but I have a friend who says platform agnostic. I'm not, because at any moment, one platform can go under mm-hmm. and what you gonna do, you know? Right. So I do try to learn all of the different, you know, technologies out there. Even though it's hard, you do want to find your one or two that you love and just kind of stick with those, mm-hmm. but still dabble in some other ones just in case you ever have to go to them. They also have one called Lexica. They have what are some other ones? Runway, that's for video to video generation. What else do they have? They have Genome. It's so many different ones out there. It's like, I can't even begin, like, oh, they have D-ID where you could create an avatar and you can let it talk for you. Mm-hmm. And it's so many things out there that you just have to keep, you know, to keep up with them, you just gonna run yourself crazy.
So the images that you create in particular, that is from using a prompt? Like, you're just basically telling it what you want to see?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
So that's how your experience basically comes into play, because you have to be able to tell it like exactly.
Yes,
you have the exactly the knowledge to know what to say to get what you the image that you want to.
Yeah, produce. And sometimes, like, I've had one instance where I was working with a client where it took me literally all day to get them what they wanted mm-hmm. because I had to keep revamping what I was saying to the program because it wasn't getting me what I wanted. Yeah. I had to keep saying it over and adding in something else and adding in this and adding in. And so it's just like, okay, you know, and eventually I started kicking out what I wanted. Sometimes, you know, it takes all day. Sometimes it could take 5 minutes, but it just depends on what it is. And it depends on, I think, your, you know, the great thing, like I said, is because I was a makeup artist, I also know fashion, you know? Mm-hmm. I know it like the back of my hand. I know what, you know, what looks good like in a top magazine, you know? So those are the type of standards that I look at when I'm creating something. Like, yeah. Can this go in a magazine?
Yeah. So this is even down to the clothes that they're wearing that you have to like, I need to see this in like real time one day, because this is like, this is blowing my mind, only because I have a visual of what these images look like. Mm-hmm. I just don't even know what I would even say to produce that.
Yeah. I mean, I do have people that have asked me to create tutorials. I'm not there yet. It is coming though. I have to say it is coming. I'm not there just yet because, you know, I want to make sure that I'm doing things and creating a workflow that I think other people will be able to benefit from. So once I do get there, I definitely will let you guys know.
Dang. So are these like unique faces or are you using like models as inspo?
No, I never put a model's name in my prompt, you know? Mm-hmm. So I always, you know, I always like describe the skin or describe what I want the eyes or something like that. Like, yeah. So that's how I also put how I want the hair. I give an idea of how I want the clothes, those type of, yeah.
This is so intriguing to me, but I always tell people like, I just feel like we're all just a combination of eyes, nose, lips, you know, face shapes, whatever. So I always feel like when I see an AI image, I'm like, it has to be somebody in the world that looks like that. Like it has to
be. Well, you know, we all have our doppelgangers. What do they call it? Is that the doppelgangers? Yeah, we all have that. So, so I wouldn't be surprised if it's somebody that doesn't look. I mean, because it's like, sometimes I look at them like, yeah, that looks like such a, but we all have a twin walking around somewhere in this world, probably on each continent, probably in each country, you know? So yeah.
That is so true. Cause I've definitely had people say, you look like such and such. And sometimes when I see them, I'll be like, you think I look
like that? Like, where your glasses at?
Right. But I have seen people that I'm like, I can see how you would say, you know, they look like me. Yeah. Oh my God. This is really, really cool. So have you like gotten a hold of like what your creative process is? Like if somebody gives you an idea for something, like where do you go creatively to be able to create something for them?
So I think it depends on the client. It depends on like if the client has a certain type of lighting, I definitely study that lighting and see, okay, they like this, or, you know, is it a luxury client? Is it a commercial client? Is it, you know, it's the same thing you kind of go with when you do makeup on set. Mm-hmm. You know, you look at what story do they want to tell. And then from there, that's when you start to research and start to pull together, like what it is that you know, like is going to make up this image. And so that's where, you know, that's, you know, you kind of walk yourself through it and start to be like, okay, you know, does this look like this could be this client? And then say, okay, yes. Or if it's not, then what can I add that give it a little, like it's weird because whenever I'm doing something, you know, I could get a picture back and I'm like, you know, it looks good, but it's not, it ain't got the joy stank on it yet. You know, like I gotta keep going and I'm not done until I know that I'm done, you know? So yeah.
I totally get that. Like for somebody like me, who is just like absolutely intrigued and possibly may want to get into this, like what is a good place to start just like practicing?
Honestly, I would say Midjourney. Midjourney is definitely a great place to start. Also, I tell people to like look at YouTube videos.
Okay.
YouTube, I mean, you know, YouTube just tells you everything, you know? But also the when it comes down to it, another thing I would tell people is don't necessarily look at other people's prompts, because when you look at other people's prompts, you're just redoing or thinking you're going to do what they're going to do. Mm-hmm. What do you like? What do you want to see? You know what I mean? What do you want to create? Yeah. And so from there, then that's how you start to hone your own style and bring your own style forth. You know? And so instead of just relying on what somebody else is doing or have somebody else going to tell you what to do, it's like, no, this is the time. This is the technology where you can be as creative as you want to be. Mm-hmm. You know, like, what is your imagination? How far can your imagination take you? You know? And so when it, you know, I always think about Black imagination. And I wonder, like, you know, based off of the people who are upset, where do you imagine from? Do you just imagine from the past?
Yeah.
Or can you imagine from the future of something that doesn't even exist? So that's where it's like, challenge yourself in that way. So that, yeah.
Yeah. Would you say that you got intrigued with this, like without, I know you said you started a year ago, but I know during the pandemic is one of those times where we weren't able to, you know, get out and touch people and do their makeup and go to photo shoots and stuff like that. Did that kind of like hinder your creativity in a way, and you were kind of like seeking like ways to be creative still?
Well, that is kind of how the old, like everything came, a time it came about, was because during the pandemic, I was like, you know, I was like, how is this affecting everyone? That same question you just asked. I was like, how is this affecting everyone? Especially how is it affecting Black creatives? And so that's when, you know, one day I said, you know what, I'm gonna do a summit. And 2 weeks later, that's when I did my first one. And I was just like, you know, and those are the questions that I wanted to ask. And that's why I brought on so many of the tastemakers in the industry to talk this through. Like I know that this is something that a lot of Black creatives are gonna get hit by even worse, you know? So now, like, let's talk about it. Let's see how we can stave off whatever's gonna come down the pipeline and prepare ourselves. So that is one of the ways that the summit came about. So yeah,
you're having another one this year, right?
Yes, I want to do it in 2023. I'm so, like, I can't help it. I'm just a very ambitious person. If I don't do it this year, it definitely be next year. But we're already almost halfway through the year, and I'm just like, but you know, I did plan the first one in 2 weeks, so who's to say I couldn't do the next one? But everyone's always like, well, you know, you can't keep planning summits in 2 weeks. And I'm like, you're right. But, you know, I'm like, but don't tell me I can't do it, because that's the same thing that they told me the first time I couldn't do. And that's when I did it. So.
Right. Is it something that's going to be in person and virtual, or just like a virtual?
Yes. I want to do in person. I definitely want to do in person, because even when we did it, a lot of people were like, this needs to be in person. So I have a whole idea that I have in my head of what I want to do. And I really just need to make that happen. I have a lot of, you know, like some other things going on in my life right now. And I'm just like, okay, well, let's see if I can make this happen.
Yeah. So if you need a moderator or something.
Yes, of course. You already know I'm already thinking about it.
As volunteers, like, tribute.
Yes. Well, I will definitely be calling. So, because I am looking for people. So, yeah.
Yes, definitely let me know. Because one thing I want to ask you too, because I really like the immersive experience idea of, like, I love Art Tech House. It's like one of my favorite things to do. But I host networking events, and I'm a big believer in just like networking, building relationships, just getting out there, connecting with people. What do you think it would look like? What kind of like immersive experience can I create that like is centered around like networking?
That's a great, I mean, networking in itself is immersive, because everyone's kind of already talking to each other. Everyone's kind of vibing with each other. I mean, I guess the main thing is just could you book a place that has like large screens, where the large screens constantly have something, some type of movement, or could you have like an art installation where people are kind of gathered around that to talk about that? So it's so many different ideas. It's just like, okay, but also with networking, you want to still be able to talk to one another, you know? Like, you don't want to get so in the immersive experience that you forget that it's people there, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah.
Because I normally do like speed networking. So like speed dating, but I have people doing like, you know, little rounds of speed networking. It's always a good time.
I love that. love that you're a connector. I love being a connector as well. And I think that is so important. So yeah,
absolutely important, because I just feel like as a makeup artist, like when I first started doing makeup, I was very fortunate to come into contact with, I'm pretty sure you know, like Merrell Hollis, Danessa Myricks, AJ Crimson, like all of those people. I met within like probably like my first few months to a year of being a makeup artist, and they kind of like took me under their wing. I worked with them, assisted them, worked at trade shows and stuff like that. But just from those relationships alone, it kind of has been like a snowball effect since then of like everything I've been able to do just from those connections, like just the jobs that I've gotten and just connecting with people. I just want people to get out more.
Yeah, it's so important. And I think like one of the things that I really have a big push on is Black, our community, really learning what community is. Like, a lot of us think we know what community is, but sometimes I feel like we don't actually know that community means that no one goes starving in that community. Mm-hmm. Are you willing to share your piece of bread with someone else? And I think it's so important. So yeah.
It's absolutely important. I would love for you to share too about your experience in London for the Metaverse Beauty Week, like the activation that you did there. And then also you did like a talk for the Metaverse Beauty
Week. Yeah. So actually I was not in London, but the great thing about virtual was that I did it from here in the U.S. My work was shown on the screen, but in terms of being in the video game, to talk, like I worked with Cole LDN to kind of figure out how to be inside the video game and have the talk in the game. And that was just an experience. I was like, what? Like, I can't believe like I'm talking in a video game. Like this, and my work is being shown in a, you know, well, it wasn't necessarily a video game, but it was a space that, you know, like is a, it's for an experience. And so I was just like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it. But it was awesome. It was awesome. I still feel like I'm on a high from that.
Yeah. What did you talk to them about in there?
So they just wanted to know about me and what I do, and also like my inspiration on a lot of things, because a lot of the times that I do a lot of AI, I just mainly do Black folks, you know, like and even though that, you know, that's not the only people I can do, you know, I'm on a mission to include us in there, you know, and us, because, you know, when you do prompts, you have to specifically prompt for Black people. Mm-hmm. And so that to me is like, okay, well, that's interesting. Like that already is a barrier right there, you know? So I always want to show like it is possible for us to be included in this. Yes. So, yeah.
How exactly do you even get in the metaverse?
Well, I mean, so many. Okay, so what I did was it went through a place called Spatial. You could use Spatial, Decentraland, Roblox has their thing, you know, like those different platforms that you can use.
Are these like free or you had to pay like a membership?
So, I mean, I don't know all of them, but the ones I've been on have been free. But some of them, you know, you might have to pay for. Mm-hmm. The metaverse, however, is just like, I would say it's like not necessarily a destination. It's like a decentralized platform where no one owns any, like it's no middleman in between anything. Mm-hmm. So I think that, yeah. So yeah.
Oh my gosh. I can't wait to just try some stuff out after this.
Yeah, like really excited.
Are people doing makeup in the metaverse?
People are doing everything, like everything. I think whatever you want to do, do it. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's so many possibilities. Even if someone is doing it, so what? Like, do your thing, you know? Nobody else is a queer. Like, bring that on, you know?
Oh my God, this is really, really cool.
And plus, we need more of us in there to bring more people in and know that it's possible. So, yeah.
Yeah. I know one thing with the AI, I recently asked this question about if people thought that AI was going to take like the creative jobs in particular, like makeup mm-hmm. artists, models, mm-hmm. hairstylists and stuff like that, because there's a girl, shout out to a Project Beauty brand. I reposted mm-hmm. A flyer that she had made for her clients. I don't know if they were like for a hairstylist, but all of the images were AI. And I was like,
oh, wow, okay. Uh-huh.
Like the promo images. And she's like, oh yeah, I definitely don't recommend people using these and then saying like, it's their, you know, their work. Like, we're very clear, uh-huh. like, this is, like, you know, for promo purposes only, but the girls were so beautiful, like,
it was
so beautiful, and I'm like,
this I have to check it out.
Yeah, I will send uh-huh. you her page to check her out, so shout out to her, but then I asked people, because I'm very intrigued by it, I love it, mm-hmm. but I mm-hmm. asked people, like, do you think that this is going to take away jobs for models, or people mm-hmm. won't need makeup artists as much anymore, if they can just go to a platform and just create, you know, an image, they won't have to do a photo shoot, like anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, do you think that's like a real, like legit concern for creatives in particular?
I mean, I think anything is a legit concern. I've always told people from the beginning of time, capitalism has always tried to find a way not to pay somebody to do something. Yeah. This is nothing new. You know what I mean? Like people are fearful of it, but I'm like, this has always been a way, like they've always tried to find a way to not pay someone, you know? What I would say though, is instead of focusing on that, focus on you getting your skills up so that you are also able to do it. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, make sure you're competitive, you know, and make sure you know how to do it and you can add that to your services.
Yeah.
So that's how I look at it.
Yeah, because if you're a model, maybe you could just make an AI version of yourself as a model. Then you won't have to go to these photo shoots. You could just create different looks and mm-hmm. just send it to brands.
And I will say this, though. I don't think that it's going to 100% take away everything. Mm-hmm. You know, we're always going to want in real life things. Yeah. We're always going to want, it's always going to be a need for it.
I agree.
This is, you know, I don't think it's an either or situation. I think that these things are going to live in coexistence. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like instead of being, and the thing that sometimes does frustrate me is that the people who are saying about AI taking away this or that, they've never ever tried it out, you know, but yet they know everything about it. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, but you have, I'm like, and I asked them, I'm like, well, have you tried it? Well, no. Okay.
Right.
That you've told me everything I need to know right there.
It's either, you know, that or they don't even realize that AI has been around for so long. Like, it's so many mm-hmm. things that they're probably like doing right now in their lives that involve AI and they don't even really realize it. Like, AI,
yeah.
It's not just, you know, making images.
Like, AI has been around forever. Like, what is it? When you place an order, I think even when you do Siri, I think like it's certain things have always been AI. Yeah. And the thing is that the difference is it's now available to consumers, to private citizens,
exactly.
Where before it wasn't. So, yeah.
Yeah. What do you foresee is like the future of AI for the beauty industry in particular?
I think it's so many different things. Like, of course, the beauty filters that you see on like an Instagram or something, like that's AR, you know, like, so you can always participate in that. You know, like there are going to be AI beauty campaigns. Pat McGrath just did one. She just did AI beauty campaign. And it's just like, so all of this is going to be a possibility. So with that said, it's, you know, if you want to learn it.
Mm-hmm. Is that like a known thing? Like she put it out as like an AI beauty campaign? Or?
Yeah, it just dropped the other day.
Ooh, I'm gonna go look mm-hmm. at it.
Yeah, go look. Yeah.
That is interesting. So with you doing this work now, like this is very interesting to me because I feel like the makeup artists that I talk to that have been veterans, they seem like they don't have any plans on retirement. It's like they want to do makeup until they drop. But I love how you had transitioned into something that is still very creative and you're flourishing with it. Like, what do you see like your legacy with this? Because you're just starting, but what do you foresee as like something that you'll be able to do and like leave behind for the industry at large?
Well, one of my goals when I first started doing makeup, period, was that I've always wanted to be a trendsetter. And I always wanted to be an innovator and a visionary. I don't know if I could say that I've achieved that, you know. However, when I first started in the industry, you know, I was one of the only Black makeup artists that was doing editorial makeup, you know. Mm-hmm. And I'm happy to say that landscape has changed a lot now. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not saying that it was, you know, I'm not going to sit there and say directly tied to me or anything like that, because I don't know. However, I would say that I'm very happy to see that, you know, that it has changed. And if I had anything to do with that, I'm really happy to know that is possible, that people saw that it was possible. And so I feel like the same way with this, you know, I feel like, you know, if people see, you know, something and they see that I'm doing something or, you know, taking note or something like that, and maybe, you know, they might be a little fearful right now, but they see like, well, you know, maybe I'll try it a little bit or double it. And then they get into it. It's like, oh, okay. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be, you know? Yeah. So I think like that is where I want to be. I want to be that person. I've always wanted to be a person that always was solution-based. You know, I'm never a person that's, you know, I can't sit around and talk about problems all day long.
Yeah.
And sometimes I think that we get caught up in a problem when I'm like, well, what is the solution? Mm-hmm. And then I hear crickets, you know, and I'm like, you know, that's got to stop. What's the solution? Yeah. What are we going to do about it? We can't keep,
to complain, but we don't know how to come up with a solution.
You know, and it's just like, and we have to come up with a solution. We have, and then also the solution is that we know what it is. You know what I mean? It is what it is. Some things out here are going to be what they're going to be. Yeah. So now, if you know what it is, now you will maneuver differently.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not out here to ask anybody to do anything they don't want to do.
Right.
I'm not out here to convince anybody of my talent that don't want to be convinced. Those aren't the people that I'm focusing in on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's time to move on to the people that believe in you, that will, you know, like have your back, that will, you know, like those are the people right there. I'm gonna leave it like that.
Yeah, I love it. Is there anything that's coming up next for you that you can share?
I mean, I have some things going on. I wouldn't say 100% just yet, so I can't share everything. But, you know, my goal is to keep on putting out things that I think I'll be proud about, I'm proud of, and to hopefully, you know, help brands move into the future.
Absolutely. What's going on with your Black Creative Directory? I saw that on your page.
So that too. Okay. So I mean, I have so many things. Like, it really was that I felt like I needed to, I took on so much in 2020 that I burnt myself out. You know, I really did. Like, I'm not even going to lie. I'm going to tell you the truth. I burnt myself out. Okay. So, but now, since I have that North Star again, which is the future in Black, now everything else is going to come back into existence and the focus is going to be on those things. So it's definitely coming back. You know, it's a process. I am a one-woman show, even though I do need to add more people to the show, you know, so that things can happen. But, you know, just know. Yeah. So, but just know it is coming back. It just, you know, I'm a one-woman Michelle, and sometimes things can fall by the wayside, but it's so important, and I actually am going to be working on that again very soon, too.
Okay, we look forward to it. This has been a fulfilling conversation for me. You have no idea.
Woo-hoo!
I was just, like, so tickled to talk to you today, but I learned so much that, you know, I hope that, I mean, I know that I'm going to implement it. If you're curious about it, you should, you know, definitely, no, look into it, like you said. Like, don't complain about it. Actually do your research. Try it out for yourself. And I plan on, you know, dibbling and dabbling and trying some things.
Yes.
But I consider myself like a techie at heart.
Okay.
So
love it.
I feel like it's something I could probably do very well in, for real.
Yes. Do it. I'm so excited for you. I can't wait to see what you create.
Thank you. Before you go, I have to ask you the Friends and Beauty rapid fire questions.
Sure.
You know, if you need to elaborate on it, that's quite fine. But, you know, here goes nothing. So okay. The first one is, what are the top three keys to your success so far?
I think one is always being a student. Two is trying not to lead with ego. Mm-hmm. That's very hard. Mm-hmm. And three is always being a connector.
Yeah. Okay. How do you measure your success?
Okay. That's a good question too. I think the way when I first did the AVE summit and I got emails from people that said that it helped change their life. That was the first time I got emails like that. And I was like, what? So that is when I say I'm successful. Yeah. It's when I feel like I changed the heart and minds, or that I helped Black folks know that they could do it. Like, we don't have to keep asking for permission from anyone. Okay. I'm tired. Like, no more asking for permission from nobody. I don't, you know, like, from anyone. Family, friends, you know, like, I love us for real, but no more asking permission. Just
get the permission from yourself. Validate yourself.
Yes, exactly.
What's the best advice you've ever received, or a piece of advice that's just always stuck with you?
The best advice I've ever received was, let's see, what is it? It was definitely, hold on, I got to think about that one for a second.
Mm-hmm.
The best advice I ever received, I think it was to just surrender and just let it happen.
It took me so long to understand that concept.
Yes, it's hard. It's so hard. I still have to deal with that. Like, I'm still dealing with that. Like, it's not easy, you know, but some things you just have to know. You just don't have say over it.
I understand it now. Like you said, it's still hard, but over the pandemic, two of my friends kept saying, you just need to surrender. Like the stuff that I was going through, they were like, you just need to learn how to surrender. I'm like, what exactly do you mean? Like, surrender? I can't have control. Yeah. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Ooh-wee, I understand. What advice would you give to another creative right now who is just either they're stuck creatively, they're not seeing the results that they want to see, and they're just ready to just give up? Maybe this creative thing isn't for me.
Well, I would say, so I guess two things. One would be, sometimes it's okay to move on. Mm-hmm. You know, like it's a relationship. Like, you don't want like him, or he don't want you, you don't want him eventually. You know what I mean? Like, it's okay to just walk away, you know? But then it's time when you do need to fight for your creativity, you know? Mm-hmm. And that means that if you need to take a break and then come back, that's different too. One of the things I always love to do is my happy place is in a museum. Mm-hmm. I go there for inspiration. I go there by myself a lot of times so I can go and soak it all up. And then I can come back and I can work. Mm-hmm. So it just kind of depends on where you are. If you're ready to walk away, because I've been there. I was ready to walk away from doing physical makeup. Yeah. And I was okay with that.
Yeah. And I see a lot of my friends in beauty like transitioning out of doing makeup, and they're doing like other amazing things still. So
yeah.
Yeah, I love it. Mm-hmm. What's a resource that helps you or has helped you in your business that you can share with the friends in beauty community?
So one of the resources, well, there's a couple of resources. First is Start Small, Think Big. It is a organization based in New York City, but it has offices in different places. I think they also have one in DC, where you can actually get pro bono attorney, you can get marketing advice, you can get financial advice. Those things can help you with your business, because as much as we are creatives, we're also business owners. So we have to make sure that our businesses are in tact, which that took me a long time to figure out. Yeah. I'm still figuring a lot of things now. So that's definitely one of the resources I would say. A second resource I would say is classes. Mm-hmm. I think classes are always going to be great. Like, don't ever get to a point where you don't feel like you need to take a class. Yeah. You know, classes to me always will reinvigorate yourself.
Absolutely. I agree. I've invested in myself numerous times over, and low level in between. Yep.
Yes.
So the last one, I just want you to fill in the blank and just say, my name is blank. And the key to longevity and success is whatever you think it is.
Okay. So my name is Joy, and the key to longevity and success is letting go of your ego and just being.
Letting go of the ego and just being. I love it.
Yes.
Before you go, please share, you know, social media, websites, whatever you want people to do to connect with you and your brands and follow this journey with you.
Yeah. So you could follow The Future in Black. It's thefutureinblack.com and on socials, Future in Black. Or if you want to see more of my personal AI work, it's joyfinnell.com and joyfinnell on all the socials. So that's where we are.
Yes. And I'll leave all the links down below for you. But thank you again so much. This is like really fulfilled me. Like, I'm so tickled to have met you and talked to you. This conversation was everything.
No, well, thank you so much for inviting me on. I truly appreciate you. I truly appreciate what you're doing for the community. This is, just keep going and keep working at what you're working at. And it's going to all come together and pay off.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thanks for listening to the Friends in Beauty podcast. Don't forget, sharing is caring. If you enjoyed this episode, share it with another friend in beauty. Give it a thumbs up and subscribe. rate, and leave a 5-star review so that other friends in beauty can find the show. Plus, we'd love to hear your feedback. Connect with us on all social media platforms at Friends in Beauty, hashtag Friends in Beauty to join the conversation, and join our Friends in Beauty Facebook community to stay connected. Talk to you soon.